What's happening? Hour number three, J-Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Guests arrive via the Mark Spann Real Estate Hotline. One of them, Coach Dave McGinnis, set to join us in the next segment. Titans camp opens tomorrow. Big storylines, the defense, the coordinators, the kicking.
Everything. Health. Finally getting contracts done with rookies, you just said.
Playing with some degree of expectation, I think.
New OC, new DC. They do have a whole lot of questions when we sit back and look at this thing, Jay.
No, they do. And none of them are going to be answered really in camp, so.
Well, I say this one, though, that can be answered. Well, the questions that's got to be asked. What is your adjustment for the 17th game as a coach? Like, camp is hard. Like, I hate camp, but it's a necessary evil when it comes down to the camp being hard, though. So it's a matter of how they're going to break this down, man. Fans won't get an opportunity to see the guys practice this year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure it's going to be fully open to the public. But I know they're not doing, what is the Friday night lights that they usually have this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Vrabel manages those guys, and not just him, position coaches and all. Or where do you want to choose to work at? Do you want guys working more in individual and pull back in team play? But the adjustment to the 17th game is something that has to be taken into perspective. This isn't the old NFL when you can just beat guys down. You have to have the best available guys every single week, and that's what you're hoping. You also hope you get them to camp. I mean, get them to the opening day.
We do a top observation off the top of every hour. It comes via one of our channels, whether it's Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, Periscope, or just a tweet. Cousin Andrew, what's wrong with you? Cousin Andrew says on YouTube, my wife had to fast this morning because she has a physical. That's a HIPAA violation. I drank my coffee with a smile right in front of her. Don't care. Hashtag petty. Hashtag I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
Yes, you are. What's wrong with y'all, man? When you choose that type of violence, the wife always wins. Unless you're Dr. Dre and you don't mind paying $3-4 million a year.
John Michael J on Twitch says, good morning. Good morning to you, John Michael J. 2K BZ, listen, it's behavior like Aaron Rodgers that lets it be okay for J-Mart to serve room temp milk to CG. Wait, that's never okay. It's been just fine. She's doing just fine.
I was always taught a certain way. It was to warm that milk up, Jay, and you crushed all theories when surrounding that. How's the new baby milk maker, by the way? Whatever
it is. Oh, it's nice. The baby brother is pretty daggone awesome.
Is it warm milk now?
No, we aren't using the temperature on it.
You're not? Oh, come on,
she
man.
Doesn't. Abby believes you don't give her something she hadn't already had. Don't even let her know about that world. She doesn't need to know about
Uncle
it.
Uncle Mom going to take care of this. It's cool.
Don't you give her warm milk,
Mom. I'm adjusting the temperature on the brezza. This baby's never had warm milk before.
Right, so not missing it.
I hope she has a cranky day today.
Not missing it a bit.
I hope she has a cranky day today.
Who? CG? Yep. Why?
Because that baby deserves warm milk, Jay. It's all good. It's all good.
PUP list and all of that kind of thing. Again, the only thing we'll say there is just don't overreact to it.
One thing I'm a little shocked by, and I'm wondering why this has come up. And if I was there to ask this question, I'm hoping one of our great, great beat writers will ask this question, though. Defensive lineman Avery Jones was placed on a reserve retired list this past weekend. Also, of all the PUP and non-football injury lists that came out, he's a guy that's basically going to retire at this point. He's 6'4", 318, of course, signed by the team in June, which also leads me to think that he was going to be a guy that was going to make this roster. I mean, he's a late veteran signing. Played in 105 games, 52 starts. I've actually played against him, man. I thought he was pretty savvy guy, quick twitch guy. Just depth also. Again, we're speaking in a different world when it comes down to this league that we're in right now. It's an extra game. It's being able to keep as many healthy guys as you possibly can. And he's a guy that's either going to retire – just now report, or they decided to just part ways and they've listed it as a reserve retired list. But he was signed this June and now he's out. Former undrafted free agent guy that played at Georgia too. Know him, thought he would have been good depth, but he's out right now when it comes to this Titans roster. So either they have huge confidence in somebody else or it just wasn't the right fit. But when you have this much time in free agency to get guys in and evaluate them and see what fits are there for you as far as him being on this Titans roster, I was a little shocked by that one, considering he's a vet too. So that was kind of interesting on me. That D-line depth this year is going to be something that's got to be on the forefront, considering the moves been made at outside rusher, considering what this defense was last year and what the expectations are right now. That was a little bit of a shocker to me. Not like he's a big name guy, but again, you have a veteran guy that signed in June. You expect him to make the roster. So
Tom Moore, Jay, warm milk helps him sleep. Your obstinacy is hurting you. Look, man, she's going to sleep between 9 and 9:30 every night and waking up at 5. Like, she's giving us almost 8 hours of sleep every night, which is shocking to me.
Yeah, well, still to me, too.
3 months in, she's giving us nights. She's basically giving us an all-night sleep now.
Don't bother
every
her.
Night. So I don't know that the warm formula needs to be a change that we make.
Hey, she's good to go so far, Jay.
If room temperature is good enough for me, it's good enough for her. That's not true. She always would get better than me.
Just making CG become an adult already, man.
No.
It's cool, Jay.
Not at all. If she was struggling, we'd have a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not. We talked about Joe Banner's article with the 33rd team.
Speaking of the Titans being overrated.
Titans and the Saints being overrated.
And the
two most overrated teams. We said who else is overrated, in your opinion, because I don't agree with either one of those. Because I don't think Saints are overrated, because I don't think anybody's expecting that much from them. And the Titans, I don't think, are overrated when you have the Colts in the same division. And the one thing we do know about Tennessee is you got a quarterback that you like. In Indianapolis, you don't, at least yet. Like, maybe by week 10, we're saying something different, saying, okay, I guess it was Philadelphia.
Right.
But until we see that, I'm not rating them to do very much right now.
Yeah, but everybody's high on everything that Indy has in front of them.
I agree with that.
Yeah, as far as I'm speaking of just why I would think they're overrated. Everybody's high on that. Everybody's also high and continues to stay high on Baltimore, too. We even had somebody who was recently just say, well, because of their special teams. And to that point, that's true. That is the hidden yards. People don't know it, but the Patriots in their era of winning Super Bowls were phenomenal on special teams. They always found the play. They always got a kick return. They always got a block kick. If you look at what they did, and credit to Tom Brady, the living GOAT, the current GOAT in this league, but the way those defenses played and the way that special teams upheld everything they were supposed to do, those were the biggest X factors when it come down to the Patriots winning Super Bowls. Those two things right there. You got to think. They had a lineman running the ball back on for, I think, one of the longest returns ever by a lineman, an offensive lineman at that. That doesn't just happen by mistake. They've prepped for that. They found themselves down that world and saying, hey, in this situation, we're going to be ready for all things. And that's where Baltimore is right now when people talk about why they're so high on them. They even mentioned their special teams.
Nothing is easy in the NFL. But if you look at 12 weeks of Indianapolis Colts football this year.
Mm-hmm.
You think about Carson Wentz trying to get up to speed and all that kind of stuff. Here. I will speak louder when I get to the teams that matter. Seahawks, Rams,
mm-hmm.
Titans, Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
Ravens. That's the first 5 weeks. Then you go to the Texans. Then 49ers, Titans, Jets, Jaguars. Bills, Buccaneers. Nine of those games against teams with real playoff aspirations, and almost all of them made the playoffs last year.
Wow. Got their hands.
First 12 weeks, nine that are absolutely, you can see all of those teams making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Only ones that are, you would think are easier are the Texans, the Jags, and the Jets.
Yep.
That's it.
They got to come out right, which is, again, why it's smart to put Bud Dupree on the PUP list right now. It's also smart to watch out how this right tackle situation is going to work out too, Jay.
But I think we all feel mm-hmm. if the Titans don't come out strong, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're in real trouble. Those first 5 weeks, you've got to get as much of that as you can, including, I think, that week 3 game here in Nashville against Indianapolis is critical.
Yeah.
You've got to win that. Because I don't know if you can – you don't want to pin your hopes on the wild card this year.
No.
You want to win the division.
It's going to be a fight to get there.
Yeah. Not that you don't always want to win the division, but it's going to be harder this year.
You better. Yeah, that is your automatic to like stamp to get into the playoffs is winning your division.
Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio joins us on the other side. What are the biggest question marks? What are the things he's most interested in as camp is set to open and what needs to be accomplished over these next few weeks as well? You won't want to miss that. It's all coming up next here. Jay Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back, Jay Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here in Nashville. 11-year NFL veteran, Vol for Life, Ramon Foster. Jonathan Schaefer's out for the next 3 days. Andrew Malone doing a fine job in his stead.
Yes, indeed.
I'm Jason Martin. We're on Twitter at Jay Martin and Ramon. You can plan on Farm Bureau health plans for better coverage, better rates, and better customer service. They've been providing Tennesseans with a home field advantage for almost 75 years, and it is because of Farm Bureau health plans that we're joined on Mondays by Coach Dave McGinnis of Titan Radio. Coach, what's going on?
Good morning, Jay Mark. Good morning, Ramon.
Morning, Coach Mack.
So we're almost here, Coach.
No,
what's on your mind?
It's here. I mean, we're here, and what's important about this time of year is that once they start getting everybody together, you want to be sure that, and they've already made some of these moves. I'm sure you guys have already talked about them as far as with the NFIs and the PUPs. Mm-hmm. You don't ever want to get anybody started until they're ready to start. But then everybody else, you got to start to ramp them up. The National Football League, you got 3 days where there's no pads on. It's an introductory period where everybody, is on the same schedule, and you'll warm up without pads. It's a lot different than it used to be, and rightfully so. With 17-week season, guys, mm-hmm. It's not just jumping in and taking off as fast as you can. It's being able to load manage and get them to where they need to be when they need to be there. Mike Vrabel's one of the best at it. That's something that's really impressed me about the way that he handles his players on an individual basis as far as to where they are, not only physically, but where they are in their careers too. And this to me is an important part. This is a lot of things that new head coaches, because they're excited, and if they have an inexperienced staff, they'll jump in and they'll do more harm than good early on. You need to realize this is a long, long stretch that we're in for. And so you need to work into it with some intelligence.
Coach Dave McGinnis with us on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Coach, from the outside, it would be easy to say, look, one game's not that big a deal. Adding one game's not that big a deal. Explain why that's not the case.
Well, I mean, it's extremely important, and this goes without saying, you've got to get your best players to the games healthy. And getting your best players to the game healthy is much, much more than just seeing who's going to be healthy on game day. It's the way that you approach the week, but it's not only the week leading up to it. It's the way that you've built and approached everything else getting to that point. Look, you've got to stack wins in the National Football League. That is an easy thing to understand. And you only stack wins when you're the healthiest at the time that you play. Injuries are inevitable, but you can stay away from things that you create yourself by overworking or overextending your players too early for no other reason than the fact that you just want to see them work hard. That's not the National Football League now. Any intelligent coaching staff and head coach and organizations, that's not the way you approach it anymore. It used to be entirely different. When Ramon first started, he was still kind of at the tail end of that old mindset as to where, you work out, you go twice a day in pads, two a days, and you just work harder, because if you're working harder, that means that you're getting ahead of people. That's not necessarily the truth. You're working smarter, and you're working what's tailored to your people to get them to the game that's important. You look, the 17th game for intelligent organizations won't be a big strain. For those that aren't, it'll be a problem.
And Coach Mack, that's honestly where I was going with my next question with you, was just the understanding of that. And I know the outside noise doesn't matter, but you always have the people, the league is soft, the game is this, and the game isn't what it used to be. Well, it's designed not to be that way these days, simply because, if we can be honest, guys run faster, bigger guys are faster, stronger. The game has to change with the way you approach it also. And just in general, just because you're switching up the way you do practice That doesn't mean, Coach Mack, that you're necessarily not making it physical, because it is still a physical game. These guys still play a physical sport. And when you're talking about man to a man, you need to prove your ability to play in this league, especially in this league. Is that the correct assumption, Coach Mack?
You're 100% right, Ramon. And it's not the fact that practices still aren't physical when it's time to be physical with the pads on. But there's difference. Look, the practices have to be physical because you're getting ready for a game mm-hmm. that's violent. So you have to have physical practices, you know, to be able to get and, you know, not only to find out, you know, what you have, because until you really start putting the pads on, you really can't ascertain what you've got offensively and defensively on the up front. Either way, you know that. You spent your whole career doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to have your pads on. But at the same time, being physical and beating down your players are two different avenues. Yeah. There is two completely different avenues. You can be physical and you can have an intense practice without beating down your players. And there are certain times during the practice where you say, hey, now we're turning it up. This is what we're going to do. But it's not like you step on the field every practice like we used to. Mm-hmm. And I say we used to because that's the way it was 35 years ago when I first got into this league. As soon as you stepped on the field, it was full tilt until you came off the field twice a day in pads. And that's just not the way you do it anymore, because first of all, what good does it do you? Really, what good does it do you? And what is it proving if you lose a player by trying to prove to yourself and your team how, quotation marks in the air, tough they are in practice?
Yeah. Another part that happens too is everybody, all staffs and have to designate their PUP list, or, you know, non-football injury list too. And Bud Dupree is on the list. And Tyson Brelo, and there's one more guy on that list too. But Coach, I got to ask you, what's the goals when you have a guy like that as far as starting on the PUP list? Let's say for Bud and Tyson Brelo, when Ty is, you know, if not trying to compete for a starting position, he is at least depth on this. What's the goals to get these guys to opening day?
Well, just get them healthy enough first to get out there to practice. The worst thing you can do, Ramon, the worst thing you can do as a head coach, as an organization, as a training staff, as a medical staff, is put somebody out there when they're not ready. Mm. The game and the practices and the part of playing professional football is hard enough when you're healthy. But you put somebody out there that you know is not 100% healthy, first of all, they can't protect themselves. And second of all, if they can't protect themselves and then they're trying to do something different to try to stay out of harm's way, they may hurt somebody else. You know that. You've mm-hmm. seen that in practices during your career. I mean, I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be intelligent about it. And here's the thing. You've got two veteran players there that you're talking about. They know their bodies better than you do.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's a smart move. And that's what you have to do. You just have to be able to take it in incremental steps. And everybody else, you know, that wants to see all play, you're not going to see all play. Just start reading all of the transactions around the league once training camp starts. You will see some significant names on either the PUP or the NFI list, because, guys, you've got to get your players healthy to the first game.
Yeah.
And to get them healthy to the first game, they've got to be healthy enough to be able to practice and prepare to get ready for that first game. And if they're not, don't put them out there until they are ready.
Coach, Joe Banner, tell me a little bit about Joe Banner, who's been in a league, well, was in a league for a very long time in the front office. He said something about the Titans I find interesting, but give me your impressions of Joe Banner.
Well, I mean, is Joe's not in the league anymore, is he?
No, he's not anymore. I'm saying, you've been in the league long enough that you know who Joe Banner is.
Whatever Joe Banner says about anything other than what he's saying about Joe Banner really doesn't resonate with me at all. I mean, what's the difference?
Okay, right? No, that's fair. That's actually what I was trying to get to. He was doing real. Yeah, he was doing an overrated list of teams for the 33rd team or whatever, and he named two teams. He named the Saints and he named Tennessee. And I found it interesting only because, one, I didn't know anybody was rating the Saints very highly, just because they have a quarterback spot. They have some injuries that they're dealing with, especially Michael Thomas as of late. And then with the Titans, I don't know what it is, but he was one of the guys that came out and said Julio Jones is a mistake for a team to go acquire. So I think that he was still in the minority on that front as well. I was just curious more than anything else, Joe Banner's expertise from your perspective or anything like that. Everybody's going to have opinions. None of them mean anything when you actually get to the games. I was just curious if you had any experience with him.
Well, I mean, Joe Banner's opinion on who's overrated and who's underrated when he's not in the league, you know, it doesn't resonate at all with me. And J-Mart, I've been around you long enough. You are a smart person, a really smart person. And I know it doesn't matter to you what he said.
No, I honestly thought that's what you were going to tell me. So that's why I kind of wanted to get out there, because I know some Titans fans didn't like it. But I think it's important to hear Coach Dave McGinnis say, yeah, probably just disregard that entirely as we move forward. When you look at training camp opening, Coach, and really getting down to business here, right, what needs to be accomplished for this team in the run-up to Atlanta and the first preseason game?
Yeah, now that question is real, because run-up is the right thing. Here's what has to happen, and this is stating the obvious, but it's also going a little bit deeper than that. This defense has got to start, you know, coalescing and coming together at all three levels. Because you've gotten some different people. Now, you have some people that are going to be part of this defense that won't be out there from day one on the field practicing. They'll still be in walkthroughs. They'll still be in meetings. But they've got to start coming together mentally, you know, as a group, and as well as being able to physically come together as a group. You know, when you look at that secondary is going to be brand new. That secondary is going to be brand new to each other. All right, you got two safeties that aren't brand new, but that secondary is going to have to be, they're going to be brand new to each other. They are going to have to start building, you know, some connections, and that's going to be important. That's going to be an important part of this buildup. This offense, okay, this offense has been very successful the last 2 years. You've got somebody different now that's going to be calling the offense, but you've also got a coordinator that's been there, that understands and has been involved in putting the layers together that this offense has experienced in the last two seasons. It's going to be important now for this group to come together. And then the thing that I'm really going to be looking at is seeing how, you know, this offensive line comes together, because this offensive line, when they're healthy, has been a huge part of the success of this football team, because this is still a big man's game. Everybody can start throwing all the fantasy stats they want out there, but it's still a big man's game up front on both sides of the ball. And if this offensive line is healthy, which, you know, hopefully from the left side across the center, they are healthy. And then, you know, we've got a young right guard that has really, really improved every year. It's going to be interesting to see how that right tackle situation comes into being. But as far as the layering of this offense and trying to build on what they have already established, that's going to be something that I'm going to be watching. But I'm going to be very interested to watch this defense as a whole start come together and see how much they can become fluid with one another, you know, rather than being just trying to figure out what's going on. They need to develop a fluid nature about this defense, because the best defenses I have ever been associated with and been a part of, they have reached that peak as to where they're always playing together. That's a big part of playing defense.
Coach Mack, the sports world is changing, and on all levels, at almost every league across this world, man. One in particular, college football. And let's say the Big Ten and also the Big 12 and also the SEC. You got Texas and OU trying to come to the SEC. Now, for obvious reason, you would think, well, yes, this is a cool deal, but it also breaks up a conference also. The question I have for you, Coach Mack, is this. Is there a difference in recruiting a kid out of the SEC as opposed to a different conference? Like, is this why Texas and OU want to come to the SEC? Like, is there benefit for them as far as name, as far as their players, as far as recognition? Because this is a big deal when saying, hey, we're reshaping a whole conference. They want to join the SEC. And to me, these are two powerhouses, Coach Mack, even though Texas hadn't won a lot. But how do you view this as a former coach, as a scout, as somebody that loves all football?
Look, you said it. These are two national brands.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of where they are, they're going to be able to recruit really good players. These are national brands. This is about money. This is about money. And once the NIL came in, guys, the landscape of collegiate football is completely changing. The NCAA matters zero anymore. They are toothless. They don't matter. The power football conferences, this is going to be a super conference. I mean, you can see it. You can see it already. That landscape is going to change. They are not moving or wanting to move or have said that they are thinking about moving. Guys, look, these types of things that are this big, they don't just come out with not any forethought. Mm-hmm. All right. This has been bubbling for a while, but it's money. The money that they will be able to generate once this super conference comes together, it's changing the landscape of what collegiate football is. Collegiate football's landscape was changing anyway, all right? Because the NCAA, their powers have been eroding, and it's been their fault because they have never stepped up to really take hold of anything. And now they set back and let a lot of things happen. And so, look, it's a different world now. And if I'm a coach, Ramon, yep. or if I'm a player, you know, and I get the opportunity, you know where I'm going to want to go play? I'm going to want to go play in that power and that super conference.
Yep.
That's where I'm going to want to go play. That's what this is about.
Coach, this morning we've seen from the NFL Network, and now we're seeing from Chris Mortensen as well, Texans price for Deshaun Watson, 5 high draft picks and starting caliber players. My question for you is this. If you're a team, maybe you're Philadelphia, maybe you're Denver, maybe you're Miami, somebody where you're not as sure about your quarterback spot,
right?
You see the value in Watson. We know how good Watson is if he's able to play. Knowing what you know and also knowing what you don't know, is that worth the risk considering everything else that is still left out there on the table? We don't know how that's going to end.
Well, first of all, when you start talking about 5 draft picks, that's a starting point. That's a negotiation starting point. That's not the end all to be all. Been involved in too many of these deals. You guys have seen too many of them. Your listeners, our listeners, are sophisticated enough to know that's not just the end all to be all. All right. The thing that you've got to decide as an organization, if you are involved in this process, is can we absorb? Not only can we absorb the money or whatever the other assets that we are going to spend to get a franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. which he is, can we absorb, you know, the public relations part of this too, that's going to come with it? If we can absorb all of that, then it will be worth trying to pursue if you think that is the piece that you are missing. And if you don't have a quarterback that you really believe is that piece, because your windows in this league, as far as being able to put things together, are really small.
Yeah,
they're really small. Now, is that going to be the final deal that is done, the initial deal that was put out there by then? No. But here's what this is. This is a stare down between the Texans organization and Deshaun Watson and his representatives, because the league hasn't acted on anything yet. And so there's nothing out there. Deshaun Watson is in the camp. He's in the camp. Because he doesn't want to give up $50,000 a day to see what might happen. All right. If he goes on the commissioner's list, he still gets paid. So him coming in still gives the opportunity for trades to be talked about. That's where this is right now. But all of this, he's already made it clear. He will come in, but I don't want to be here. So now what is the people that are looking to want to bring him in? Now is when they have to decide internally whether they can absorb all of those instances and all of those circumstances that would follow bringing him into their organization. That's what those people have to determine. It's not so much what we're going to have to give up. It's what are we going to have to deal with.
Are you surprised, Coach, that the league hasn't acted, that he's not been put on the commissioner's exempt list? I know it could still happen, but does that make you kind of raise your eyebrows a little bit at all of this?
Well, not really, because, I mean, what it tells me is that as they look at it, look, you don't go on that list unless the commissioner's list, unless they have explored it. I've been involved in this too, and they think that there's really something that they can sink their teeth into right now, because he can go on that list at any time. J-Mark. There's no deadline, for him, or no stop point for him to go on that list. So it doesn't surprise me at all right now. As I said, all parties involved right now, they are in a stare down right now. That's what's going on.
Coach, always a pleasure.
Yes, it is.
We're about to start talking real ball now. We're going to get observations from you. Next time we have you on, we'll be able to actually talk to you about what you're seeing as the season draws nearer and nearer. And I said off the top of the show, I don't know if I've been more excited for an NFL season than I have in this one. All these rookie quarterbacks, plus Tennessee being not just relevant, but a real contender in many people's eyes. This is going to be a really, really fun year.
You know, J-Mark, the thing that I've always enjoyed coming on with you two guys is this. We always talk real ball, yes, but now we are actually going to be able to have something at least to watch and look at. And I agree with you. This is going to be an exciting season. I can't wait for it, and I know that our listeners can't either.
Amen, Coach. We'll talk to you next week.
Amen.
See you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Healthcare coverage, Farm Bureau Health Plans, like an extra set of pads when you need them the most. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Speaking of pads, Moan needs to put them on. Put a helmet on. Here we go.
Buckle up.
Birthdays when we come back. Jay Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone. Our thanks to Coach Mack for joining us on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. If you miss any conversation on this program, podcast the program at Jay Martin and Ramon, wherever you get your podcasts. Also on Twitter at Jay Martin and Ramon. So I put up a quote that I loved in response to basically Coach Mack saying, I could care less about Joe Banner's work. I said, quote, I love, why would you take criticism from someone you wouldn't ask advice from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to criticize me, if I don't care about your opinion enough to have asked about it in the first place, then I'm probably just not going to care very much.
That's a wrap. Yeah.
Like, I got to have respect for you to worry about you.
I actually hear you out.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that I won't listen. It just means don't expect any kind of a real change there. Like, why would I get upset about the egg avatar with two followers?
Yeah, no doubt.
Saying something critical when I don't know who that person is, certainly don't know whether their opinion has any validity whatsoever anyway.
Right.
Birthdays always have validity.
You always care about those.
Always have validity. Mm-hmm. Jason Peters, 33. Hey. Lyle Collins is 28 today. Jefferson, 25, one of the receivers that was not taken by the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, get it out.
Jalston Fowler is 31, former Titan.
Oh,
Alabama worry. Fullback.
Okay.
One of those picks people were like, huh? Robert Gallery is 41.
Hey, former number one or number two overall pick.
Yeah, to Iowa.
Four, yeah.
He never live up to it he was taken really high for an offensive lineman. Though. He wasn't terrible or anything. Yeah. He
wasn't number one.
No, right. And that's all that I think sometimes matters. All right, and Dorothy Hamill is 65. You know who that is, Mo?
No.
These is not part of the five.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I do not know who
Olympic
that
figure
is.
Skater.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's another sportsman. All right. Mick Jagger, 78.
Mick Jagger, rock and roll star.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh.
And he is a rock and roll star, but for
who? Who is it? Mick Jagger is Rolling Stone.
Yep. Correct. I feel very good that you're going to do well today. Big names. Helen Mirren, 75.
She was in Shot Us. No?
She was in what?
Shot Us. Helen Mirren?
Yeah.
Don't know. She wasn't in Shot Us, the movie?
Helen Mirren, British actress.
This is a Jamaican movie. Nope, she wasn't in that.
She's
bad.
In Red. I'm trying to think of things maybe you have seen her in.
I love Red. I didn't know her name. Is it the older lady?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I know who she is.
She's done a ton of stuff.
She was awesome in
Super
Red.
Super talented.
Red, too, also, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Bullock, 57.
Sandra Bullock, The Blind Side. There
okay.
we go. Quiet Place.
Jason Statham is 54.
Jason Statham. Why do I know his name? Gosh.
He's famous.
Comedies. Jason Statham. I'm not sure. Tell me.
He was in The Transporter. He was in Fast and Furious.
Ah, that's
he was in
guy.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yep, I knew it.
He was in Snatch.
Dropped that one. He wasn't in I Got the Hookup, Master P movie? Nope.
Maybe he was an extra in that film.
He was an extra in I Got the Hookup.
Kate Beckinsale is 48.
Oh, man, she was in 3-6 Mafia Choices, the movie.
No.
Wasn't in that?
Nope.
Shout out to the country of Memphis, though.
Also not in Big Timers.
That's where I was going.
I have just had a feeling you were just had a feeling, man. It just felt right that you were going to say that. Kate Beckinsale was in the Underworld films. It'd be one of the things she did.
Okay.
She's done a lot, Mom.
I was.
Jeremy Piven, 56.
Oh, he was in Players Club. Ice Cube. Bernie Mac. He wasn't in the Players Club? Jeremy Piven. Well, it wasn't in Belle Biv DeVoe? No?
No, it wasn't Belle Piv DeVoe. It was Belle Biv DeVoe. BBD, not BPD.
Hey, I said Belle Biv DeVoe.
Jeremy Piven was Ari Gold in Entourage.
Entourage. Yes.
He's done other stuff, but that's what he's best known for.
I know the movies, not the names of the actors or actresses.
All right, so Helen Mirren, not giving you that. Sandra Bullock, yes. Mick Jagger, yes. That's two. You got two out of, and I gave you six today. So we're batting a third, man.
That's Hall of Fame in baseball.
I mean,
I'm a Hall of Famer in baseball.
I thought you were going to do better than that, quite frankly. Cousin Mike appreciates the shot as reference, though. He says that on YouTube TV. We got a fourth hour coming up next. Michael DeCourcy, not a fan at all of Texas OU, potentially going to the SEC. Says it's time for Greg Sankey to step up and stop this. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But we will talk about it. Plus all the headlines coming up next. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.